You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Welcome to Future of Flushing. I'm Vito Calisi. With me is Jonathan Barron. Not with me physically, but with me emotionally. We were just with each other, recorded a new meet at the Apple. But, John, we got so much minor league baseball to talk about today. We preempted this on our Friday show. We're saying it now. This is a two-pager.
Two-pager? I'm saying under 25 minutes. That's my take. That's my
All right.
My prediction. Then, I'm sticking to it.
Let's go for it. Let's start off with the Syracuse Mets, who went up against the Woo Sox Friday night. They won 4-2, led by a Luis Angel Acuña, who went 2-for-4, and Joey Lucchese, who over six innings only allowed two runs.
Yeah, and Vito, as you will, or as listeners will come to hear, if they're coming to us trying to get all the updates, it was a big weekend for Luis Angel Acuña. He was starting to heat up a little bit after a tiny slow start, but Luis Angel Acuña's bat starting to get going here.
Yeah, I mean, he's the prospect that everybody's going to be keeping. And I mean, him, Jet, Drew are the three you're going to see fans keeping the biggest eye on when it comes to position players this year. But he had a fantastic weekend. And then Saturday, Luke Ritter got on the board with a home run, but that game ended up getting suspended. Sunday, they won game one, 8-5, where Luis Angel Acuña went 3-for-4 with a steal. Trace Thompson hit two home runs. Luke Ritter, not that one home run the other day, came back, hit another one, and also a Tomas Nito home run.
Yeah, so that was 7-8-9 in the Syracuse lineup, all homering. And then you said game one. The suspended game on Saturday was continued on Sunday, so we call it game one, game two. That ended in an 8-4 loss. But the big part here, Luke Ritter, homering. We know that he hit a lot of home runs after his promotion from AA to AAA last year. Luke Ritter is a guy that not a lot of fans talk about, but he's not that far away. He went to college. He's been in the system for a little bit. He's hit at every level he's played at. Luke Ritter's the kind of guy that if a couple injuries occur at the major league level, the Mets could look to him to fill a void. I'm having a tough time talking. It's been a long day, man.
It has, man. Look, we're not going to get into the nitty-gritty because you could go listen to Meet at the Apple, which we did record hours ago. It was Doc Day at Citi Field, and like, look, I'm going to say I have a lot going on a day like Doc Day. I don't even have a third of the stuff John's got going on a day like that. So just trust me when I say John Barron, one of the hardest working guys at Citi Field.
Sometimes. I'm kidding. No, it's all good. It's all fun.
I'm being sincere, man. I know that these days aren't easy on you.
No, it's today. I was thinking about this earlier. Days like today is why I love my job. It was very special to be there with everyone today and, be part of the special day. And we hope that some of the guys we talk about here on Future of Flushing might one day get the same honor and recognition that Doc Gooden got today. So let's continue on and let's head down to Binghamton. The Rumble Ponies, they played.
Is that down from Syracuse? Yeah, it is, right? It is down from Syracuse, right?
It might be west or east.
Okay.
It could be
west. Let's head on over.
Yeah. Yeah, let's not commit to any direction. Let's mosey on down. I was thinking about that a couple days ago. Rumble Ponies against Erie on Friday. They got banged. Rain. It's raining right now, Vito. That kind of just came out of nowhere.
It is.
So they played two on Saturday. Game one, a 9-2 victory for the Ponies. Kevin Parada hit his second homer of the season. Jose Peroza, very under-the-radar prospect with a nice bat, a real major league caliber bat. He went 2-for-4 with a homer as well. Wander Suarez, we told you he'd be starting over the weekend at some point. His pitch day was Friday. That got rained out. His shutout streak, it finally came to an end, but he still allowed just two earned runs in 4 2/3 innings of work. And Nolan Clenny and Paul Gervais, our guys, two bullpen studs that miss a ton of bats, they combined to shut the door behind Suarez, striking out 4 or 5. So really good to see those two guys have a strong start to the season. Game two, the Rumble Ponies lost 7-6, but it was a big day overall for Brandon McIlwain. He had two hits, including a triple in game one, had two hits, including a double in game two. So big day for McElwain.
Yeah, Brandon McElwain is somebody who we've both been really excited about. But John, I mean, John, you've been on the BMAC train for, I would say earlier than anybody else for the most part. We spoke early to Brandon after. Last year at spring training. Didn't get to talk to him this year, but you know what? He should be on our list of guys that once we're done with these spring training interviews, I think we should do him next.
I'd love to go on a trip to Bingo. I don't know about you.
I would love to. I would love to. And then I can say to Jacob's face, you got to give me that hat.
What would he do? He wouldn't be able to duck you.
No, I would say, hey man, you've been telling me about this hat. Why don't we walk on over and go get it right now?
Send Vito a text, man.
Let's talk about Sunday's game where the Rumble Ponies lost 5-3. Alex Ramirez, though, went 3-for-5 with a double. Right now, he's got a .394 on base percentage, and he's slugging 634 plate appearances. We said this last week. It's really exciting to see the Alex Ramirez that we came to know two seasons ago.
Yeah, it's like a market correction for Alex Ramirez. You know, 2 years ago, you watch Brooklyn Cyclones games. You watch him in St. Lucie earlier in the year, and he really looked like a dynamic young prospect, center fielder, tall, going to really fill out. So he excited a lot of people, and that's why he became a top 100 prospect. And he just really struggled last year, and you couldn't figure out what it was. And he's back to being the prospect that many thought he was. You know, it's not a shock because of how talented he is. Remember seeing him in the batting cages early in spring training in 2023, seeing him working on going the other way, so strong, swinging the bat with one hand and just putting so much force behind the ball, even to the opposite direction. So it's not a surprise that he's off to the great start, but it really is great to see because he truly can be one of the upper echelon prospects in this Mets system. And it looks like he's back on track to getting himself in that conversation again.
Yeah, it's really exciting to see that. We saw him working really hard at spring training this year as well. So that's exciting. Now to talk about the Eggman, JT Schwartz. And if you don't know why I'm calling him the Eggman, it's because at Arizona Fall League, he made eggs for not us, for himself, as we watched and spoke to him for some content we did. But JT Schwartz had a great day on Sunday, went 4-for-4 with two doubles and a home run.
Yeah, huge day for JT, just a triple shy of the cycle. But hey, we've talked about JT a lot on this show. JT's got a future in this sport. JT's a really good player. Great to see the power. And yeah, a nice day for JT Schwartz.
The Eggman.
I've never heard that before.
I mean, I just said that and I knew you would get a little chuckle out of you.
I laughed.
Now let's talk about
a thing.
No, it's not a thing. I just made it up. I just say things sometimes.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart, the 7-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Let's talk about the Brooklyn Cyclones. Friday, they lost 7-1. Douglas Orellana, 4 scoreless in relief with 6 strikeouts. Nolan McLain, the two-way player that the Mets drafted last year, got on the board with a home run. Now let's talk about Saturday, where the Mets played a doubleheader. They won game one, 6-2. And one of my favorite things to see is a Stanley Consuegra home run. His first of the year this year. But as you know, John, and I know, and everybody who listens to Future of Flushing knows, going to be the first of many.
Oh, yeah. You heard Andrew Christie say it on this very podcast. You watch, like, 5 Brooklyn Cyclones games, you're going to see Stanley Consuegra hit a home run.
Why don't we talk about game two, where our boy Jordan Gieber had 7 strikeouts over 4 scoreless innings.
Yeah, Giebs had that nasty slider working, dotting corners with his fastball. Great to see. Jordan Gieber's a talented pitcher. And, you know, it kind of sounds a little crazy, but the Mets have you can't have too much pitching depth. So please don't take me saying this that way. But there are guys who should be pitching at higher levels who aren't, because there are only so many spots at each of these levels. And Jordan Gieber looks like one of those guys. Jordan Gieber had a really strong start end to last year, I should say. Pitched in the fall league, pitched well against some of the top peers around him. is off to another great start, a dominant outing. Not all lines are straight, Vito, as we talk about here often on the show. And Jordan Gieber's got a story. Jordan Gieber was in a car accident that set him back a lot. He could be one of those guys who was just totally off the radar of 29 other teams, and the Mets saw something, and they brought him in. And right now, Jordan Gieber is looking like a very, very promising prospect with what could be an accelerated path ahead for him.
100%. We really want to have a chance to talk to Jordan because we did meet him in Arizona Fall League. We did some content with him that we didn't get to release, but he was a really cool guy to talk to, has a really amazing backstory that we'd love to showcase. So hopefully we could get down to Brooklyn soon and just, you know, get to showcase him more and get to watch him pitch live.
It'll have to be real soon because Jordan could, you know, who knows how long he'll be there for. Jordan's a good pitcher.
Yeah, and I mean, this system, there's just so many guys who are just performing at such a good level that Jordan could move up. Somebody could move up from Binghamton to Syracuse. Somebody could move up from Syracuse to the main roster. You just saw Grant Hartwig got called up to the Mets today. Jose Buto just been absolutely electric. That's a guy who I don't think anybody thought he was going to be pitching games like this early in the season for the Mets. So that's what we're here for, though. We're here to tell you about those roster moves. We're here to tell you who's moving where. And we're here to tell you about Sunday's game for the Cyclones, where Calvin Ziegler only allowed one earned run in two innings while striking out four. I wonder if it's because he heard the interview we did with him and he was like, I'm the guy.
Not entirely sure what it was, but Ziegler was really good again. And he is the guy. I mean, you know, we talked on Thursday and we talked about Ziegler pitching over the weekend. And it was something that I definitely was tuning into and making sure that I was following along live as it goes, because, you know, there are some of those prospects who have those starts that pop. And, you know, Calvin Ziegler all last year, for the majority of last year, coming back, throwing one inning at the end of the year, not getting to see him. That stunk for Mets fans. That stunk for fans of the future of Flushing. And I'm not just talking about the podcast. I'm talking about the real future of Flushing. And for him to make the impact and open the eyes he did at the spring breakout game like he did, and then make his season debut and just absolutely dominate, at one point struck out 8 straight batters. You know, when you have that kind of a profile, you become, if not must watch, must follow, meaning I'm checking box scores. I'm keeping up to date. I want to know what's going on with this guy, because we could have a dude on our hands here.
Yeah, I mean, when you look at him, he just looks like a guy who's built to play baseball. Just, we talked about it last week. Absolute just three trunks for legs, has a great profile. And yeah, I mean, he's somebody who I think we're going to see him shoot up through the system throughout this season. Jordani Ventura piggyback, struck out 7 over 4 innings, also only allowing one earned run, in that time. Nick LaRusso hit 2 home runs, went 3 for 4. And Nolan McLean hit another home run. So that's not just one, that's 2 for the weekend for Nolan.
He didn't just hit a home run, 112 off the bat. And if you go and look at that home run, he wound up on one knee at a point, looking like Mike Piazza in 99. dude, Nolan McLean is... You guys can't see me right now because this is audio-only format. And it's going to stay that way, except for our player interviews. But I'm smiling. You know, like Andrew Christie said it to us when we asked him about Nolan McLean. The Mets, to get him where they got him in the draft, that he didn't get taken earlier, that is everyone else's problem and the Mets' pride, because Nolan McLean is a special ball player. And whether it's... He really is. And whether it's as a starting pitcher or as a reliever eventually, you know, with the DH, teams can get flexible, moving guys back and forth. The options are limitless with Nolan McLean. And, you know, a lot of times guys grow up, they pitch, they hit. Eventually one becomes the strength and you kind of give the other up. Not Nolan McLean, and he's not giving up either anytime soon. And it's been awesome to see him go out and dominate last week on the mound. And he hit 2 homers over the weekend. He has 3 hits, they're all extra base hits. And he's hitting absolute missiles with wood bats now. We're not talking metal bats in college anymore. Now we're using the real deal. And he's still hitting missiles. I mean, you know, we're about to talk about Jesus Baez and the great weekend he had, 19 years old, 2 years younger than the league average age in the Florida State League. another guy hitting missiles all over the field. Kevin Parada off to a great start. We know how great Jet Williams is. We know how highly regarded Luis Angel Acuña is. I'm going to forget some guys here, and I know I'm just rambling now, but this system is loaded, dude. The system is loaded.
No, the system is rich right now. The system is rich with talent, and that's all from just the amazing job that our player development team does. Some moves at the deadline. Like, it's funny. Everybody thinks, oh, like the Mets, the moves at the deadline last year is what built this system. Those are just a few moves in what's been happening over the past few years for the Mets. We're on the quest for under 25. Let's move over to the PSL Mets, who played the Jupiter Hammerheads this weekend. And John just brought it up. Jesus Baez, 2-for-4 with a double on Friday as the St. Lucie Mets lost 5-4. But don't hold those St. Lucie Mets down, because Saturday the boys came out and they won 14-1 with another Jesus Baez home run.
Yeah, man. Jesus Baez is going to quickly become one of the favorites of this podcast. And, you know, FCL hasn't started yet. DSL hasn't started yet. So there are some recent draftees, some recent signees, some young players that we'll see in full action and will start to, you know, have become more common names here on Future of Flushing. But Jesus Baez, who came stateside for the first time last year and just really had a rough go of it in the FCL, a 640 OPS, something clicked. And this is just another example of player development not being linear, not giving up on guys. Baez, at 19 years old, has been one of the most imposing forces in a batter's box in the Florida State League this year. On days where he doesn't come away with two hits like he did a few times this weekend, he's still making outs clocked at 100, 105 off the bat. He is a monster at the plate. And for him to be that young and doing what he's doing in a tough league speaks volumes. And just another dude, another dude.
Now, I think the star of today's episode, while there's many, Jonah Tong is the person I've been the most excited to talk about today.
Yeah.
Jonah Tong struck out 10 over 4 innings of work. That's 21 strikeouts in 8 1/3 innings. John, he hit 97.2 on the speedometer.
On the speedometer?
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know why I said speedometer, dude. I don't know why I said the radar gun. I meant the radar gun. I said the speedometer. It's been a long day.
That's funny.
I got to Citi Field at like, I think 9 a.m. today, and there was no iced coffee, and I was mad.
Yeah, that's not good. But yes, he did hit that on the speedometer. He had a brilliant, brilliant outing. 12 whiffs on 21 swings against the fastball, and a cutter to go with the four seam. So a little bit different shape out of the hand. 7 whiffs on 11 swings against that, and the curveball that a lot of scouts say jump off the page with the high spin rate. 2-for-2, whiffs over swings against. Wound up with 21 total whiffs on 34 swings against. Just an overall dominant start for Jonah Tong, who, if he can be consistent with throwing strikes and making opposing hitters have to think twice about laying off the curveball and laying off the cutter, this is a dangerous, dangerous young man on the mound. He really is. And through those two starts, you mentioned his 21 strikeouts, only 5 walks. So Jonah Tong is a dangerous, dangerous, tough pitcher to face. That's why there was so much hype surrounding his name in his draft year. And I don't think Jonah could be off to a much better start if he wanted to 2024.
Let's move on to Austin Trozor. Struck out 6 over 4 innings of shutout ball out of the bullpen. Another guy we interviewed, another guy we hyped up on our Friday episode saying, like, get ready to watch some baseball this weekend.
Yeah, him, Cade Morris, two guys taken by the Mets last year in the draft, and they both had good starts recently. So, like you said, it's not just the acquisitions made by the Mets at the deadline last year. It's about the recent draft classes and the Mets doing well throughout the drafts. The Mets hitting on numerous picks all the way through to the very last round and the great international scouting that's being done. It's all of those things.
Well, it was a really good weekend for Mets minor league baseball, as we just went over with you all. We will be back this week with more updates for you all. Go over to Meet at the Apple. Listen to today's episode where we interviewed French Montana. We also played an interview we recorded with Tyrone Taylor back in spring training. Tyrone Taylor, really fun guy. Even to this point, like anytime I'm doing smoke, the dugout comes over, says what's up to me, was I think one of our favorite conversations we had at spring training. Just a really fun, chill dude.
Fun, chill dude. This is a fun, chill podcast. And like you said, a great weekend of Mets player development ball. And another great weekend coming up. Most of the teams will be off on Monday. And then we'll be right back at it on Tuesday, Vito.
And on Wednesday, we will be premiering our interview with Brandon Sproat. So keep an eye out for that one.
Brandon will be back on the bump early this week, I believe. He last pitched on Tuesday for the Cyclones. So nothing announced yet, but he could be back on the mound Tuesday for Brooklyn once again.
If he's on the mound Tuesday and he has an electric game, that's good for numbers, Brandon. So, like, I'm rooting for you.
Heck yeah. Anyway, I think that's all for tonight. What do you say?
I think we're tired, and this was one of our, I'm going to say one of our more silly ones, but not like fun silly, just like just weird silly. But I think we got the job done, and people are informed.
They're all caught up. So we will see you in the future. Enjoy the stock music. Good night.
Good morning.